Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Sell their soul for a chance.
and you must choose. Will it be eternal life, or will you choose to lose your soul as you disappear into the midnight?
Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Father. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you in the good times. We praise you in the bad times. We praise you during the judgments. We praise you when we're going through hell on earth. We praise you all the time, Father God, and we thank you for all of these challenges that we're going through, Father. We pray that you will just pour out an anointing upon us to help us to be able to get through the days that we have ahead of us, to be able to walk in the works that you have written in our books about us. Psalm 139, verse 16. I would submit before we were ever here, just like some of the prophecies have confirmed. Oh, we praise you, Father. Lord Jesus, holy Lord Jesus, please cleanse and totally purify our hearts, our minds, our soul, our spirit, our flesh, our record-keeping books in heaven, and our robe and gown in heaven with your precious blood. And Father God, your Zechariah 2:5, holy fire. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will anoint us with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is beyond our comprehension, that the peace that passes all understanding will be beyond our beyond the comprehension of our hearts and minds, and it will decidedly fill us, for we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we need your strength right now more than ever before, Lord. We need it way more than ever before. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you will continue to help us to be able to walk on that narrow path. Lord Jesus, the scripture says in the prayer in the book of Jude that now to him, our Lord Jesus, it's a capital H, now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and present us faultless before the glory of God. And Father, we just pray in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we ask you to help us to stay on that narrow path, even when the pathway is given way, even when the dirt on the side of the hill where the path grows extra narrow starts to break and fall down into a mudslide. We pray that you will continue to help us to steady our course. We know that there are many of us that are probably struggling with various behaviors, if you will, in our lives that we're trying to break away from, and we ask you, Lord, to please help us in that, and not just to advocate only, not only to advocate and pray for us in heaven before our Father, but also to help us to supernaturally and spiritually help us and to outpour an anointing, a double portion anointing, I would even submit, please, upon each of us to have a supernatural gift of discernment, a supernatural gift of faith, a supernatural gift of love that overflows us. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will fill us with a love for you. For the first and foremost, the most number one and most important commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. And Lord Jesus, we are to make you our first love. And if we can't get the first part of it right, how are we going to get the rest part of it right, the rest of it right? And Father, we ask you, we beseech you in the name of Jesus to help us. We need to be strengthened. We need to be not concerned about the things of this world. We need to live Colossians 3:3. That we are not to concern our things with things of this world, but to keep our mind stayed on things above and not on things of this world. Hallelujah. And it is exceedingly difficult, and we need extra help. We need as much extra help as you will give us. We pray in Jesus' name for a parting of the spiritual realm as a Red Sea, that you will send down angels, Father God, specialized angels on a mission to come down and spend a little bit more intimate time in our presence to help us to be able to overcome the things that trouble us in this world, to take away all of our fear. For God is not, you, Father, have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And perfect love cast out all fear. So we pray for that perfect love to fill us, for us to fall in love with you over and over again, Father, to look at your creation and go, oh my gosh, this is absolutely impossible, to realize that the terrible things that we see happening around the world all have a purpose, to understand when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us to be able to see these things and give you praise and honor and glory, that you will help us to understand that many of us are walking and have, I believe and I submit that we probably have begun clearly the walk in the period of sorrows, and that we have entered into that walk that is associated with the protection promises of Psalm 91, and that we are already beginning to see a thousand, you know, again, metaphorically speaking, a thousand drop to our left hand and 10,000 to our right. Just summarizing, Father, and I just pray in the name of Jesus that people begin to understand this walk, and that these things are going to be happening around us, that you, by your perfect will and divine protection, will be protecting those of us who belong to you, and many of those who don't even know yet that they belong to you. And we thank you for that, Father, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will place an anointing upon our heart. Yes, a deep anointing upon our heart to give us that Isaiah 40:31 strength, that supernatural strength. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Father God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will pour out that strength upon us. Help us to be able to get through the nights when we can barely sleep, when we are given reports of things that are happening around the world that haunt us even in our, amidst our dreams, really, sometimes causing us to pitch and toss and turn and prevent us from even being able to get a decent night's sleep. And the stress is associated with our day jobs. And Father, we just need that anointing. I know we're supposed to derive a supernatural peace that passes all understanding, Father, but we also know that we are in a time today that is far more difficult, far more arduous, far more testing, far more tribulation-filled than many of the seasons that your people have gone through over the last 2,000 years. And it's going to get progressively worse. And that we're living in the times, Father, that your scripture refers to in the future tense, were not directly relevant to those that were alive at the time that they were penned through the Holy Spirit. And we praise your name, Father, and we ask you for that extra help. But more than anything, though, Father, we pray for an outpouring of love to cause us to fall utterly in love with you, that we would have godly sorrow, truly godly sorrow that would lead to repentance, and because we would feel bad, just like King David did in Psalm 51, for against you and you only we have sinned and done this evil in your sight. And we pray according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, Father, that you will blot out all of our iniquity, all of our transgressions, that you will remember, Father God, that we are dust, Psalm 103, verse 12. And we pray in the name of Jesus that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far will you, so far have you separated our iniquity from us, our transgressions from us. And we pray, Father, and as far as the east is from the west, so far have you separated our sins from us, Father God. I have to go back and look at that, and I pray that you'll forgive me, Father, because I'm beyond exhaustion, as you know. I feel very bad that I didn't get to spend the time in prayer this morning with you that I really wanted to. And I just want to say in front of the entire listening audience, I'm very sorry. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will strengthen so many of us. Many of us don't even begin to realize what we have ahead of us, and how arduous that journey is likely to be until what we believe is in accordance with the words that were given to many of your anointed servants, Father, over the years, and also in accordance with the scripture in Luke 12, verse 35, 36, 37, the first watch, second watch, and third watch, first watch is implied, which aligns with the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and the grape harvest, which is mentioned in Revelation 14, which none of us want to be here for. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will help us, that you will strengthen us, that Lord Jesus has promised in the prayer in Luke, in Jude, I believe it's 24, that you will keep us from stumbling. That you will keep us from stumbling and help us to be part of your bride. In the name of Jesus, we pray. For many are called, few are chosen. And more than anything, even though we dork up all the time and don't get right, help us to continuously self-examine, speak forth, for there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Speak forth and confess of our sins, for you are faithful and just, Father, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, please help us to practice righteousness, 1 John 3:7. For he who practices righteousness is righteous just as he, Jesus, our King, is righteous. We praise your holy name, and we thank you, Father God. We pray that you will anoint and touch this show tonight and help me to do what I don't even know how I'm going to be able to do, as exhausted as I am. tonight. We just give you praise and honor and glory and worship you, Father, for who you are. Bring us to the place that we need to come to. Help us not to pay attention to the things we should not be paying attention to. And help us to spend far more time in prayer, drawing closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.
Watch and pray, for I would come for you one day. I gave you my word so you would know the time I'd come and take you home. It's time for you to look around. The signs I gave are coming down. Don't be caught asleep and blind. You don't want to be left behind. Come and be whole. 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 Come and be home. Come and be home. Come and be holy.
All right. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I have successfully beat my record for inability to sleep. Inability to sleep. And I actually have medications that are supposed to help me sleep from my doctor. And, you know, the stuff that I'm going through right now is just, it's too stressful. You know, it's too stressful to have a $3.5 billion company, thousands of consultants, you know, and maybe this is Satan attacking me. I don't know what's going on, but they have, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, identified me as the great czar of all things. In one of my specializations. And so unfortunately that it's just astonishing. It is astonishing. And the expectation, of course, is that you're just going to show up and do it. And if you got to do, you know, like last night, yesterday I worked, I was up at 4:30 a.m. to get, you know, to have the quiet time that I need to, you know, spend in the secret place of the Most High and to take my communion and to pray for people like I do on the prayer vigil and pray, you know, and also pray for the nations, you know, pray for the lands, Ezekiel 22:30, you know, I can't even remember the scriptures anymore. I'm so darn tired. So I'm just going to have to stop trying to remember. But Ezekiel 22:30, I believe it is where Ezekiel, stands in the gap before the Lord on behalf of the lands. And I pray with the golden bowl of forgiveness that the Lord gave me. That's a long story, big testimony and everything. My whole testimony that I have on the internet right now is got to be completely updated because so many things have changed. It's unbelievable. I could write a book, and like I said, they would just throw it into the fiction aisle. But that's all right. Praise God. All things work out together for the things of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, and who are called for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Interestingly, the text of the Holy Bible that are offshoots of the Latin Vulgate, as opposed to the Textus Receptus, which is where the King James and New King James come from, and a number of other ones are derived from. Unfortunately, those like the NIV and some other ones that came from the Latin Vulgate leave out the most important part of Romans 8:28. So everybody's going around, saying, well, this is my favorite verse. You know, all things work out together for the good. the you know, but it just, you know, and then, you know, and then they leave out the most important part in the derivatives of the Latin Vulgate, which I find it very interesting that the Latin Vulgate translation series, as much as it is pillaged and how many verses are missing from it, I find it very interesting that the actual Latin root word of Vulgate is vulgar. So I find that to be very fascinating. But yeah, they leave out the part about, you know, to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And it's just, what are you going to do? So anyway, yesterday I got up at 4:30 by, 4:30 in the afternoon. Usually I'm pretty much wrapping it up. I get ahead of, I try to stay ahead of schedule on my schedule, you know, the self-imposed schedule, so I can do my, the work that I'm commanded to do by my bosses, many, many bosses, and one big important boss that can terminate me at a moment's notice, one phone call, anytime, on a whim, no controls in place. And so, of course, I'm afraid, you know, I'm nervous about him. And of course, I don't know, it's just, you know, and you're not supposed to be nervous about anything. I got to, you know, learn to totally give it over to, I have really, I mean, it's a mixed emotions thing. You know, you have the roller coaster ride. You have these days where, you know, when I'm really tired, I'm very, who out there, let's hear a praise offering for Jesus. Is there anybody out there who, you know, gets grumpy when they're tired? I mean, praise offering for Jesus. Let's hear it. Yeah. I knew it. All right. Praise God. Oh, okay. So, you know, anyway, so I ended up having to be on this call that was extremely high energy. I mean, it was like we were going through like probably more than 150 questions with a you know, huge team of people on the telephone and over a Zoom meeting. And I had to take a bunch of, you know, very detailed notes while this was going on. And all the way till about 8 o'clock last night. By the time I got up, now by that time I was working on my 14th hour, maybe 15th hour. And I got up and I was like, then I was kind of like, doggone it. They robbed me of my, you know, downtime. I need a little bit of downtime to kind of, you know, separate, you know, get a little bit of work-life balance, even though, you know, there isn't much of that nowadays. So anyway, long story short, when I did finally go to bed, which wasn't much more than an hour later, maybe an hour and a half. I was starved, so I made the classic mistake. You must never do this when you are trying to diet and do keto, especially keto. You do not want to, oh my, what a terrible, terrible mistake. You don't want to be like starving at like, you know, 9 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night and go downstairs and eat a big old, you know, keto chicken dinner, which of course it was just chicken with a couple of pieces of cheese on it and, you know, whatever, hot sauce. But, yeah, no, that did me in. Then my Alteril, which is my favorite herbal supplement for sleep, that did not want to, probably because of my body fatigue, my digestive system probably shut down by then. Then I took the Alteril. That had no effect because it was just sitting, you know, in my stomach, not digesting. Anyway, whole night, just rolling around. Now, I'm going to warn you about something before we get going deeper into the program. But I'm going to play some troubling clips, and they seem to get worse all the time. Now, I'm going to also warn you something else. Two of the clips that I'm going to play for you are from Alex Jones. Now, there may be many of you out there who have bought off on this notion, and this is counterintelligence, I'm sure of it, and that's okay. I don't care. You know, I know what I know, and I know this sounds puffed up, and you're just going to have to forgive me because I'm too tired to care. But I'm one of the best researchers out there. I can guarantee you that. And I'm one of the few that uses prophecies, Bible scripture, apocrypha, testimonies from people of over 10 years and 3,000 radio shows going back to 2011 of July. I'm the only person that correlates all of that data. Okay. And then actually does deep dive and has done deep dive research. And I've written over 420 articles available on tribulation-now.org, tribulation-now.com, tribulation-now.com, tribulation-now.net, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the one way that I know that I am upsetting the devil is that the devil is trying to take down the radio show. Now, what do I have ahead of me? I don't know. I will tell you this. If he can't if the devil can't get to me because God has locked me away and he's divinely, supernaturally protecting my job for now, because if I lose the job, I can't do the radio show. Okay. There's just no way. I don't have any way. All right. So, and these are things that do concern me, but it's also, I believe, kind of a test from our Heavenly Father, because the Lord God tests the righteous. And the better I do at walking in holiness and righteousness, which there for a while I was really struggling with because of the analogy I use is imagine a little kid sitting cross legged, like Indian style, on the bottom of a quarry and having a quarry truck. And I don't know if you know how big quarry trucks are, but they actually have to assemble them in some cases at the bottom of the quarry because they're so big. They got to drive them down in tiny little, in chunks. And then they put them together at the bottom of the quarry. They're so big that if you see a full-grown 6-foot tall man standing beside the tire of one of these monsters, it looks like a little doll. Okay. And my analogy is sometimes, I've gone through so many things that are unspeakably horrible that, and these were attacks. These were orchestrated attacks from Satan. I really need to update my testimony. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do that, but it is so many things. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. And I haven't handled it as well as I ought to. And of course there's residuals. When you go through trauma, and you can talk to Elena about this, and you can write her at realmsofhope.wordpress.com. She's gone through way more trauma than I have, but I can have a conversation with her for hours and hours, and every single thing we say to each other, totally get it. Same thing with Robert Vandreas Mitchell, same deal. I can talk to them. They totally get it. I get it. We relate to each other. Now, my trauma was not as bad as theirs by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, people who have gone through significant traumas, especially satanic attack traumas like I went through, and mine were very different than, the types of things that they put the poor Illuminati children through, of course, and very, very different. But also, I could write a book and the book would sell, but I won't spend that. I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to help people. That's the only reason I did this. I didn't want to go through all the things that I'm going through. I thought the rapture was going to be in 2011. I thought the rapture was for sure going to be before 2012. I thought the rapture for sure, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm still here in absolute mind blown, shattering disbelief that it is now September 22nd, 2021, for crying out loud. How is that possible? I get emails still from people in different parts of the world. Oh, this winter, it's all going to fall apart. So-and-so, they'll mention people that I bring on the show. You know what I mean? They'll mention people that I brought on the show. They'll mention people that I bring on the show. They'll mention websites that, that I no longer pay any attention to because, after they're wrong like 7 billion times, sooner or later, you're kind of like, hey, maybe I shouldn't, But, and they'll tell me, that there's no way things can, that everything's just got to fall apart. Now I'm just going to say this is totally tongue in cheek, but if I had a dollar for every person that told me that La Palma was going to collapse and there was going to be a super mega tsunami, don't even get me going on Superstation, whatever, 95, and all that noise, because, if you want, just look at the track record. Look at the track record. Besides, I've been very, very blessed, praise God, I used to talk to Sarah Monet offline on the phone. I used to talk to Glenda Jackson for a long time. I even played, clips from Glenda Jackson's, some of her copyrighted work, and had another Christian, so-called Christian website call me out on it publicly and say that I was in violation of copyright. And I said, no, I'm not, because I am talking to Glenda Jackson in person, and she told me I could do it. But you know what? It doesn't stop Christians from attacking you. Speaking of which, right now, Sister Nancy is under heavy attack. She handles all of the guests, so I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we'll go guestless, with the exception of the ones that we have lined up. Maybe we'll try to see if we can separate Dr. Joy out and then do a separate show with just Brother Zen, because we can cover some really cool stuff that just Zen does, right, with the Apocrypha. I don't know. I'm looking for options. So again, if you have any, what I cannot do is I cannot do Sister Nancy's helps, church helps job. She's irreplaceable. So at that point, then I am totally on my own and I have to wing every single show. And I don't really want to do that. I like bringing guests on. I think they bring a fresh perspective. And besides, if Excuse me. And besides, I had to run downstairs and jam some. I literally had to stand over the sink. This was welcome to my world. So I leave a day full of all kinds of unbelievable meetings, and I'm like, everything's emergency. Everybody's head is on fire. Run for the hills. Got to join his meeting. Oh, look, John has 3 minutes in his calendar. Surely he doesn't have to use the restroom. And I mean, it's like just unbelievable. And, of course, I got to leave the dogs out. I got to go down and get the mail because Mary Lee's in here. She used to get it for me. She used to take out the trash cans. She used to bring in any of the boxes and stuff and set them on the counter for me, which was a blessing. But now Mary Lee is gone. So, you know, I'm sitting here all by myself. I'm actually thinking about throwing out a fleece and saying, hey, is there anybody out there? Is there, you know, anybody out there that needs a place to live that wants to take a spare bedroom in my house? All I ask is that you help me clean the daggone place a little bit, you know, and you know, maybe bring in the mail. I mean, I'm getting desperate here, but praise Jesus, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So I'm just kind of walking in faith and trying to figure it out. I don't know. I'm too tired to even care at this point. I really am. I'm so exhausted, and I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because I want to spend way, 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 way more time in prayer. And so when I was up all night long, and I was desperate too, because then I woke up at 12:30 a.m. I was like, oh my gosh, this is impossible. What am I doing up at 12:30 a.m.? And so then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and that does it. I'm going to break my little personal rule, and I'm going to go ahead and take a Lunesta. Well, guess what? The meal that I ate wouldn't let the Lunesta, you know, so the Lunesta takes like 2 hours to kick in. By the time I'm trying to wake up to get into my prayer so I can spend time with the Lord, I'm so darn tired I can't even function. I mean, I'm literally falling. I'm falling down and bumping into things. Okay. And now I'm like, you know, breaking out my Starbucks Keurig double, you know, two times the caffeine coffee, which I don't even like the flavor of. Anyway, on and on and on it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Sister Nancy's under exceedingly heavy attack. I've lost communications with her. She sent out, she was telling me what she was going through yesterday. It was horrible, horrible. And, I haven't heard from her in a very long time since that very brief conversation. And I can tell you that is the first time in probably 10 years or, well, maybe eight. Okay. At first time in 8 years that I've gone this long without hearing from her. So Sister Mary Lee's been taken out. Now the Lord has blessed me with, I don't even know if I'm allowed to mention her name on the radio show, so I'll just say her first name starts with a V, and she's stepping up, praise God, and helping me with, apocalyptic news articles, which is awesome, praise Jesus. And I can take as many of those, any of you out there that wants to send apocalyptic news articles that you find, anything that has to do with the end times, whatever the case is, it can be unbelievably horrible weather, whatever you think, whatever you feel led. Now, if you're one of those people, I'm not going to use it all. I can't. I don't have time. But I'll cherry pick through it, and maybe I'll be able to use some of it. But if you want to help, jbaptist777@gmail.com, just send stuff. I got other people. I mean, the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. Send it to jbaptist777@gmail.com. Sister V up in Canada is doing a fabulous job. I don't know what I'd do without her right now. I pray in Jesus' name that she doesn't come under attack. Because then I'm really in a dire strait, and I certainly don't have enough time, given all the things that are going on, to be able to. I mean, I got to take care of the house. I got a 2,000 plus square foot house. I've got, thank goodness, praise you, Jesus, I only have like a small amount of land. You know, it's only like a 16th of an acre. But unfortunately, I love trees. Or fortunately, I love trees, because to me, trees are the Lord, and I love plants and trees and things like that. So, of course, there's trees all over the place. Trees all over I have more trees on my property than anybody in this entire subdivision. Big ones. And I forgot. I need to let my pool guy know, which, by the way, they're just having a terrible time of things. But I got to let my pool guy know my pool is green again because it's against Hillsborough County code violations. So I'm going to get fined. And I can't keep up with all of this. I praise Jesus for it all. Hold on a second. Green... Again, Hold on a second. Here I am taking care of house chores while I'm live on the air. This is, I don't even have a choice. Help, please. All right. I may have to fire him and just try it again for another one. Anyway, craziness. Thank you, Jesus. Now, tonight we're going to try to tackle the Planet X saga. This happens to be one of the largest topics that anybody that has studied end times, biblical end times timeline stuff can undertake, especially if you use Bible verses, testimonies, military articles. I have so much data on it that I don't know. I don't know what I can do. But I'm going to do my best. And then we got some news that we got to get out as well. Right, kids? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I did promise the Lord that I would, and the pool guy just responded and said, coming tomorrow. 3 days ago, he said, coming tomorrow. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So anyway, let's see. Let me get rid of this, sir. Praise God. All right. So the devil's trying to take down the show. If you would care, I do. When I do get on my knees and I am crying out to the Lord and I pray fervently, I beseech the Lord, which is a form of holy begging, to please pour out a tenfold blessing upon anyone who even so much as mentions me in prayer. I need this show protected. Because right now, at the rate of the attacks that are coming in, right now I'm pretty sure I'm slated by Satan for a takedown. And I'm not exactly positive that the Lord's not going to allow it to happen. I don't know. The thing is, none of us really know how far the Lord has lifted his hand of protection. Now, granted, we need to be on our knees in prayers, and we need to be praying proper spiritual warfare prayer tactics. It's not that there's only one way to do it, but there are better ways than others. Okay, and we know this because of Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses and 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 our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit himself makes intercession. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. It's because a lot of people don't pray right. Because they don't read their Bible and they don't get stuff, and they don't study any of the generals, they don't read any of the books and the writings by Smith, Wigglesworth, or AAL, or any of that stuff. Or I could go on and on and on. And I still haven't gotten to my biography with Spurgeon. I don't know if I'll ever get to that book. That might be just one that just sits on the shelf forever, at the rate things are going. Because I'm just going to have to. But anyway, praise Jesus. All right, so I want to get I can't even talk tonight. I'm telling you, folks, I am operating on pretty much zero sleep in 48 hours. I think that's about right. I'd have to go back and do the math. It's probably not quite 48 yet. All right, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. All right, and on that note, kids, are you there? Let's go ahead and – I know. All right, praise God. Kids. Why was the broom running late? Why was the broom running late? It overswept. It overswept, like I almost did. Okay. I kind of don't have enough time to do all the jokes, but I'm going to do them for you anyways because we need to smile. Now we need to smile more than ever. Now pretty much, except for the radio shows, the only thing that I put up on Facebook anymore is just funny stuff. Stuff that is just, because we got to smile. Somebody sent me a, what do you call it? Oh, yeah, it was a cartoon, a meme cartoon that had a guy standing in a kind of like an open park. He was outside and there was trees in the park and it was sunny and there was grass behind him. And he had this safety belt, this car safety belt strapped around him. And he looked all smiley and happy and with a welcoming look on his face. And the meme text said, for those of you who have been wearing COVID masks while driving alone in your cars, we now offer you an outdoor safety belt. Kids, I put that one up on Facebook and people were like, I got a lot of responses from that one. Praise God. I sent that around to some of my friends too, you know, that, you know, type in my email at jbaptist777@gmail.com. And then they install, Google Hangouts, or now it's actually called, you know, Google Messenger. And you're like, oh no, it's Google. And they're going to track me and trace me and they're going to follow me and put me in a FEMA camp. And I'm telling you, folks, if you think you have any privacy, if you're doing things like, oh, I'm going to pay $5.99 a month for Proton Mail, and you think that's going to hide you, you got another thing coming. I only have 26 years experience in cybersecurity. I know what I'm talking about, okay? Yeah, I do. Okay, but don't believe me. Hide, 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 all you want to hide. Hide all you want. If God ain't hiding you, you ain't it. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, kids. What does bread do on vacation? What does bread do on vacation? It loafs around. Like I'd like to do on Saturdays, but I'm not sure I'll ever be able to do again. Right, kids? I know, I know. It's insanely funny. And so are you kids. I think you're funny. You look funny. You know, see, I knew you'd appreciate that. All right. And like I say, just once, I want someone to drive past my car and not point at a tire. Right, kids? Right. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know. I know. I know. I know. I stole that from Rodney Dangerfield. I love his jokes. They're so funny. And they're clean as a general, you know. I can say some of them, but they're probably inappropriate for the show. Anyway, praise God. Kids, where do elephants pack their clothes? Where do elephants pack their clothes? Think hard. Spanky, no cheating. Spanky, no cheating. Echo, are you going to interrupt the show? I think Echo's going to interrupt the show again. She made that sound. Anyway, kids, where do elephants pack their clothes? In their trunks. That was a hard one, wasn't it? Come on, give me some credit. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And on that note, let's go into the news and then into all the Planet X stuff, which is like 14 shows. I'm just going to take a stab at it. I'm too tired to care. All I'm going to do is, look, if you hear me like going, oh, where is that article? Let me just scroll. That's because I'm going through this humongous Word document that I have that I couldn't arrange it for the show. I just don't have time anymore. I just don't have it. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know, anyway, so let's just go into the news and then we'll see where we go, see where it ends up. And maybe we'll do another one of these with a little bit more information. Who knows? I don't know. I know people find this to be a fantastically interesting subject and for good reason and everything. I don't know what I don't know. All right. So let's go on into the news. Praise God. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong. What?
It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Praise God. All right, hallelujah. So I just now heard from Sister Nancy. So she has broken her silence. That is a good sign. Glory to Jesus. And because, like I said, if I lose her help, the devil better not take out Sister Nancy, because this homeboy is down for the count. Hallelujah. I mean, like I said, there's only so much I can do, you know. I mean, I can do lots of a whole bunch of kids jokes. I don't know. I can talk about the news. I can expound upon the news. I could share prophecies. I don't know. I might even do, you know, if I run out of gas, I may just go ahead and start doing a call-in show. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to a call-in show with me, you're going to hear a lot of people dropping F-bombs. I'm here to tell you. It's one of the reasons why I don't want to do it, because we've even tried at one time. We tried to use the feature of Blog Talk Radio that allows you to kind of put somebody in a green room and you can, like, you know, screen the callers. It doesn't work. If somebody who's, you know, got possession of some type of a demon wants to get through, they're going to get through and they're going to sound very godly. And when they get on that, when they get on the radio show live, they will start going F this, F that, F you, F, F, F. Okay, been there, done that, seen it happen. All right, we've also tried in the past to open up forums. You know, I've had people say, please, Johnny, please open up a web forum so we can all get together. We need people that we can fellowship with. Now, Christians will rip their eyeballs out. Christians are the most ill-tempered, poor-behaved, fellow brother and sister hating individuals in the entire world. It is unbelievable. I could mention so many anointed ministries, end times ministries that have tried, and they will fight over anything. It is unbelievable. It's like, why can't people just say, hey, let's, you know, agree to disagree? You know, Brother Zen is a flat earther, and we get on the radio show together all the time. If he wants to believe that, that's fine with me. I don't care. I love him. I love him. He knows I don't believe in it. And that's totally fine with him too. You know, that's how we're supposed to be, you know, but people divide. That's why there's 33,000 different, you know, for crying out loud, denominations. Gee, let's disobey the Holy Bible. It tells us we're supposed to be one body and we're supposed, you know, all that. And no, you know, that's what we do. We're disobedient. We are incredibly disobedient people. You know, what it reminds me of is the whole story of, you know, the desert, you know, and the Israelites and how they were just, you know, there were so many levels of manifold disobedience that came out of the Israelites that God was just, you know, he wanted to wipe them out. Can you imagine how different our Bible would have been? Our Bible would have ended at like Exodus, I don't know, chapter what, 3 or 4 or something, you know what I mean? It would have been like, oh boy, that was a short story. But of course, then none of us would be here to even talk about it. All right, praise God. So anyway, I'm going to start out the program with this testimony. I've got it queued up. Hold on a second. I got to turn up the gidgety gadgets and the widgets and the wahoos and whatevers. Hold on and check my volume. All right. Listen to this. All right. So I'm going to read you the introduction and then I'm going to play it for you. The introduction is from, it's a post by the Daily Caller of Tucker Carlson. And the subheading of the post is, quote, Tucker Carlson reveals that a PowerPoint presentation from the United States Army is justifying vaccine mandates with a slide that says, how many children were sacrificed to Satan for the vaccine, along with listing the 7 tenets of Satanism. Now, I'm going to let you know this because I don't want to expound upon it too much. I need to move on. Is that the only reason Tucker Carlson didn't catch on to what was actually happening is because it's so dark and twisted that he probably just doesn't have the human ingredients to be able to believe it. Okay. You know, I mean, would Tucker Carlson listen to this show and believe what? I mean, if I said Jesus is Lord, he might believe that. Okay. But if I told him, you know, some of the other stuff that we know, yeah, no, he wouldn't believe it. It's just beyond his over the horizon of his ability to receive it. Now I'm going to go ahead and play what he talked about on his show. Here we go.
56 servicemen killed themselves. So military suicide is an actual crisis that the Pentagon might want to address. Lloyd Austin might want to look into that. But no, that would get the Democratic Party nothing. The point of mandatory vaccination is to identify the sincere Christians in the ranks, the free thinkers, the men with high testosterone levels, and anyone else who does not love Joe Biden and make them leave immediately. It's a takeover of the U.S. military. Here's how they're doing it. This show has just obtained a PowerPoint that the Army is using to justify mandatory vaccines to the troops. This is an actual slide from it on your screen. You will notice there the sympathetic portrayal of Satanism. How many children were sacrificed to Satan because of the vaccine, the slide reads, apparently sarcastically.
No.
Then the presentation proceeds to list the so-called tenets of Satanism, which are taken straight from the Temple of Satanism website. So here you have the United States Army doing PR for Satanism.
All right. So I'm going to stop at this point because the point it was made. He made a wrongful assumption that it was that, you know, that what, you know, that it wasn't. No, these are Satanists. What? I mean, you know, but, you know, Tucker, come on, man. There's no way Tucker's going to get that. He's not going to get it. The people that this was given to, and yes, they're sacrificing children to Satan. Absolutely they are. But this is not, you know, this isn't something that Tucker's going to get, okay? So, yeah, that's how dark this world is that we live in. And he goes on, you know, and on about, you know, the whole thing. But you heard him also say the Christian thing, right? To identify Christians, Right. Okay, praise Jesus, hallelujah. I'm going to move on. Now, this is a child warning. This is a family warning. For those of you with children that listen to this program, please hear what I am about to say. The following audio clips are from The Alex Jones Show. I am absolutely positive, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Alex Jones is not on the inside. He is not part of Operation, I think they call it Canary or something like that, or Parrot or whatever. They always put an operation in front of whatever Illuminati lie they want to tell you to discredit somebody. We know these things. Common sense would tell you. Why would common sense tell you? Because everything that he's telling everybody about is basically true. Okay. And in fact, of all of the sources on the internet right now, okay, and I can name a lot, folks, but because a lot of them are claim it Christians, I'll just put it that way. We're all at different levels of our walk, and many of us are, well, we're going to be visiting the Great Tribulation. Let's just leave it that way. All right. I want to be part of the first watch. I want to be part of the barley harvest. I want to get out of here as soon as possible. I think I've paid a dear, desperate price. Not a perfect one. I have not walked perfectly, but I am as contrite as I can possibly be. I want to make the barley harvest. The Lord knows that. I tell him it over and over again. I just drowned him in those requests. Okay, so he knows that. And we should all be praying for that now. We pray always to be found worthy to escape all these things that are about to come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. For us, that means the barley harvest. And for us, that means we need to be walking in holiness and righteousness and avoiding sin, repenting, and having godly sorrow. Because God, see, you will not be sorry that you sinned against your father if you don't love your father. But if you love your father, then you'll be sorry, and then you have godly sorrow. Okay, please, anybody, families out there that have children, I am giving you heads up. I am about to play some audio clips from Alex Jones. I believe this is absolutely a fact. Okay, that's what I believe. All right. And I've been, as a matter of fact, the Lord used Alex Jones supernaturally back in, 2004, I believe it was. A pastor's wife, she was the wife of a pastor who was an advanced Bible teacher that my family grew up with all the way back in the 70s. And she sent an email with a small MP3 on it, and it was my initial wake-up call. And it was this guy ranting, and I later discovered it was this guy, Alex Jones. That may have – I'm not sure if that was before or after my AE 9/11 Truth wake-up call to the controlled demolition of the World Trade Centers, which, of course, is a it's so mind-shattering. Words can't – when you first discover it, and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt what happened is a fact, then – it's like, wow, you know, your whole life just vanishes. All the hopes, all the dreams, all the promotions that you ever wanted from work, all, you know, your children going to college, even if they're going to Bible school, it doesn't matter anymore because it's irrelevant. You know, when you realize, I mean, it might not be, you know, there may be people that are just, oh, I love it and I'm so happy that my child is going, and that's great. That's great. Good for you. Praise God. And I know moms love their children more than anything. I get that. I don't relate to it because I don't have the genes of a mom, but I do understand wanting to tarry. You know, the Bible kind of tells us to tarry on and all that, and look at all the disappointments we've had. What are we doing here in 2021? Okay, so we got to brace ourselves for things lasting longer than we perhaps a lot longer than we think. Okay. Which, of course, to many of us who have the more recent it has been to your wake-up call, to you waking up to the fact that we have shape-shifting reptilians running the governments and the Illuminati and the control grid and all the things that are happening, and it's far, far darker than – you know, the funny thing is Alex Jones gets a lot of this stuff, and he talks about it. You know, he's done the Bohemian Grove thing. He's right about that. He's done the Yale, you know, Skull and Bones thing. He's done better research on that than anybody in the world as far as I am aware of. He knows it's Satanism. He's brought people on the – his work is very good. He was lured by, what's her name, Kelly, I can't even think of her name, the blonde that was on with whatever, who cares. So anyway, yeah, it's exceedingly credible. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Checking volume. Fire. This is about Biden. Secret Service leaked information about Biden's failing health. That is the title. I'm playing two short clips of this. If your children are listening, it could give them nightmares. Here we go.
Conversations with individuals, let's just say, on Biden's detail on September 10th, September 11th, inside the Secret Service. And I'm going to leave it at that. And they confirmed to us that they're really concerned about the country and that the people controlling Biden are basically communist Chinese agents. And this is directly from the Secret Service inside the White House and the details separately. And that Biden, he said, I just got my butt wiped. It's true. He's defecating all over himself because he has dementia. And they follow him around with a whole Pelican case. That's about 2 feet long and about a foot wide, full of drugs he's on that he's injected with.
I predicted it.
Biden doesn't know who he is at 3 a.m. at night and roams around the White House yelling at people and not knowing who he is and defecating on himself. And that when he was in New Jersey to survey some of the damage there on the 10th, that he had to change clothes repeatedly because he kept defecating on himself. You can see those days he did this. And this is a very sad thing. They put this puppet in so they can commit all these crimes, destroy the border, bankrupt the dollar, launch all these wars, engage in all these crimes, and then basically it'll be seen as America doing it. That's the globalist model. So I have all that news directly from the Secret Service that they're just, the country's in total peril.
All right. Now, these were recorded on TikTok, so of course they're limited to very short durations. So there's a second part two. So again, watch out for your children because it's pretty strong. Also, I want you to know that if you actually happen to see the video that he shows while he's making this announcement, he actually has a clip where he's able. Literally, it's a video. You can just look at it. And the thing, it's hard to believe what he's about to say now. I'm just going to share that with you. It's hard to believe what he's about to say. But he shows a video clip. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, no. And then, of course, last night, because I wasn't sleeping at all, I'm like rolling around in my bed having these like mini dreams of this stuff. It was horrible. And then I was like rebuking it. And then I realized, I probably need to do a house cleaning, but like, I'm so tired. Anyway, I need to do a house cleaning. And I'm not talking about with a feather duster. I'm talking about with holy oil, chasing the dagnabbit demons out of here. I haven't done one in a while and I need to do a perimeter sweeper, go around the entire perimeter and build a perimeter of holy fire around the house. Imagine being too busy to protect yourself from the devil. Oh my gosh, that is just awful. But anyway, listen to this. Here we go. Kids, watch out.
And not knowing who he is in the White House at night, they're really scared. He is completely out of his mind. That's why they cut his mic off. He's definitely setting America up for a fall. Then they'll blame him and blame America when it's literal triple agents, global Chi-Com, New World Order agents. Some of them are Islamic agents. I mean, it's a consortium, like a legion of doom of all these America haters that are in control of Biden, right?
I would add that includes their leader, Obama, okay, which would, pretty much check the Muslim box, wouldn't it? All right, let's keep on going.
I know we're literally seeing the end of America. I've got these notes right here that I'm going to go over. I mean, I know what hotels he was in. I know when he crapped his pants. I know when they removed him, they have a doctor with a giant Pelican case of drugs. He's running around the White House at 3 a.m. not knowing who he is. So this is all the information going. Remember, it was the Secret Service that told us back in 2016, 2 months before the election, they said, you just got to follow him in the ambulance that follows Hillary. And so here we have the Secret Service are nice, and I'm not going to say much more than that, but, I mean, the people on his detail – and the people in the White House, and these are and this is 100% confirmed on my children, folks. Like we told you, Hillary was collapsing when it happened 2 weeks later. This is all going on. They told us that he just likes to crap his pants, and that he likes the staff cleaning it off of him, and that he refuses to wear diapers. And I'm going to do a whole report on this. I've got notes. I've got everything. I met with these people. I mean, this is going to cause a huge deal, and that they don't care anymore. In fact, they're probably going to just start going public. That Biden runs around at 2 or 3 in the morning, speed bombed out of his head, that the doctor has a huge Pelican case with all these drugs in it. They're injecting him with stuff. And then, like you saw him, it's like, let's play the clip in a moment where he says, they wipe my butt, they wipe my butt, they wipe my butt. He literally, people that have dementia,
there he is,
into their butt.
There's
and
the video.
Pooping,
you're seeing it over and over
and
again.
Into writing on the
butt.
Walls with it. He hasn't gotten to the writing on the walls yet, but he's obsessed with his poop. And then if they make him mad, he'll just start defecating all over himself. He throws temper tantrums. So this is directly going on. And you can see how they kept changing his clothes. On September 10th was their particular day where they believe he crapped his pants multiple times.
Okay. All right, kids, you can come back in the room now. Kids, it's not good to do that, is it? I know. Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Next headline up. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go.
Freaky!
All right, praise God. Supreme Court to hear oral arguments challenging Roe v. Wade. Okay, arguments in a case challenging the validity. I'm going to have to speak slower, I guess, which really kind of sucks blue. Hallelujah. Validity of the 1973 Supreme Court ruling that access to abortion is a constitutional right are scheduled to take place in the nation's highest court near the end of 2021. Now, according to a lot of the people that talk to me, we're not even going to make it that far. But I'm here to tell you, after 3,000 plus radio shows, probably well over 4,000 by now, that you're probably wrong. Okay, but that's okay. You can still believe what you look. I went through it. It's like the five stages of grief, man. When you first wake up, you just go through the. You got to go through the stages. You got to go through the stages. When you first wake up, I don't care if it's three years ago, 2 years ago, or 5 months ago that you woke up. It's gonna take you a dagnabbit long time. It's gonna take you a long time because you will not be able to believe that God would allow these things to keep happening. You won't be able to believe it. But when you read your Bible, you will. But a lot of people don't want to read their Bible. They want a preacher to tell them all the stuff. And then if they go out and listen to the preachers on YouTube, and some of them are very good teachers of the Bible and stuff, to a point. But then you got to stop listening to them, and you got to break free, or else you'll never learn the mysteries of the Bible. You'll just get the basic good. You'll get some good teaching, but yeah. All right. Anyway. Next one up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. House Democrats remove the Iron Dome funding from the upcoming budget. Isn't it convenient that they porked out the upcoming budget? Well, guess what? They hate Israel. So any claim that the United States has that we're currently, you know, blessed and covered, you know, and all that kind of stuff because of one verse in the Bible. Even though we're one of the most judged countries in the entire Holy Bible, which Israel is as well. Interesting. Us and Israel. Now, why would that be? Well, Jesus said, I would rather you be either hot or cold. Because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Who's the most lukewarm country in the world? Who has more Christians, claimed Christians per capita, than any other country in the entire world? The United States. Are they hot? Are they cold? Or are they lukewarm? Guess what? Vomit you out of my mouth. All right. I mean, I there's a testimony of a North Korean underground Christian church pastor. They have to literally hide for their lives. And when he broke away from North Korea for a little while and snuck out, they had ways to get him out. He told people in America. He was, you know, giving testimony. He was explaining that the underground church in North Korea prays. And they're in caves, man. They're underground. I mean, this ain't underground, tongue-in-cheek underground where they're sneaking from house to house. I mean, they hide. They really hide because their lives are – they're going to get shot on sight kind of thing. Well, anyway, this guy comes out and he tells everybody in his testimony that one of the number one places on the planet that they prayed for all the time was the American Christian. Was the American Christian. House Democrats remove Iron Dome funding. Well, sorry, CBN, but there goes your get-out-of-jail-free card. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. The Epic Times reports, drumroll please, Tennessee follows federal guidance, recommends vaccines, vaccinated don't get the monoclonal antibodies. Now, of course, DeSantis, who doesn't give a rip what anybody says, setting up monoclonal antibody treatment stations all over the state of Florida. So if you feel a little nauseous, he tells you, come and get your treatment. So the only thing I wish DeSantis would do is get hydrochloroquine more available. And here's the problem. Since the NIH, which is controlled by some type of a satanic entity that refers it to itself as Biden, I'm sorry, Fauci, but he's not human. I've proven it. You can see the video on tribulation-now.org. Just go to the main page. Look for, you know, the Mission Impossible disgusting picture of Fauci. Look at it. Watch it. Proves it. It's beyond any shadow of a doubt. He ain't human. It's not human. They're known as twice dead. It's creepy stuff, man. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Remember that the NIH, Fauci's operation, he's run by reptilians, right? These are totally compromised. And they have control over all doctors' licenses. You think the doctors aren't worried about getting their licenses yanked? Of course they are. I asked my doctor, I'm like, well, doctor, would you do this for me? Would you do that for me? And she's pretty cool. You know, she's pretty smart. And she's like, I follow all the guidance of the CDC. And you know why she said that? Because she's afraid of losing her license. She won't be able to feed herself. You can't be a doctor for years and years and years and be anything but a starving homeless person if you lose your license. Nobody's going to hire you. You're done. See, people will say, my sister will say to me, well, Johnny, you know, if your job is so stressful, why don't you just get another job? And I'm like, I roll my eyes. I'm like, but I realize I'm outmatched. I cannot, it's not something that's explicable. There's no possible way to explain it. I can't get, first off, no one's going to hire somebody that's going to, you know, it's got a silver beard, you know, silver goatee, and it's going to cross the 60-year-old. No. Anybody that says there is an age discrimination in the hiring process is so insanely punch drunk on ignorance that it can't be explained. It can't be quantified. Okay. All right, so anyway, praise Jesus. Next headline up. We want justice, they say, says the family of the 10 civilians killed by the United States strike that officials now say was a mistake. And, of course, that happened a ways back, but never mind. It's relevant, and I'm going to cover it. Here we go to the next one. Hallelujah. Here we go. United States, United Kingdom, and Australia announced new security partnership, which means they're going to be – the United States stole some contracts from France. France is all mad. I mean, you know, this is a classic case of – it's the reptilians. They're setting up. These entities are actually what I would refer to from, you know, when you consider the Rhodes Roundtable, the Committee of 300, the, you know, Tavistock Institute, all of these entity-ruled agencies and NGOs and things like that. And Soros is like, he's just like a captain. He's really a nobody in the grand scheme of things. Don't get me wrong. He's powerful, but he's, you know, comparatively speaking. You got to trace up the royalty. You got to go all the way up to the House of Windsor. Then you got to know who the Pindar is. I used to think it was Pindar, but in fact, it's the Pindar. That is actually a title of this entity. That it's just so sick and twisted, folks. It's so sick and twisted. I mean, Alex Jones is an excellent rendition about the Skull and Bones thing. I mean, they actually get into, kids, close your ears. In a Skull and Bones initiation, they crawl inside of a coffin. They mean it, by the way. This isn't just some hazing thing. They actually mean this. They're praying to Satan, and they're rolling around in human. They're rolling around in the stuff that Alex Jones warned us that Biden is doing because of his dementia. They roll around in that inside of a coffin, and they plead, just like people who would pray to Satan, for essentially alien demonic entities to enter their body and control them, which, by the way, Father Malachi Martin referred to as being perfectly possessed, which is what Biden is, which is what Fauci is, which is what Hillary is, which is what so many of them are, which is what the House of Windsor is. You know, it's talked about in the Testament of Reuben, the Testament of Amaron, the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. I mean, the list, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable how many places it is. It's, you know, Dr. Michael Heiser did a study on the Nakash. You know, now he didn't go, he stuck with, you know, the King James. That's how that was his thing. That was his niche. All right. But anyway, the UK, this whole pack that has been formed, formed a AUKUS or AUKUS alliance. It has made France incredibly angry. It has upset NATO. So now NATO hates the United States. It's made North Korea exceedingly angry at the whole thing, because we're basically giving them the ability to create their own nuclear submarines, the United Kingdom and Australia. So to the rest of the world, it seems like we've kind of, you know, snubbed them. I'll just leave it at that. And that's putting it nicely. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Same-sex civil unions, good and helpful to many, says Pope Francis. Yeah. Next one up. Hallelujah. Israel's Pegasus is your phone a 24-hour surveillance device? And everybody's like, oh, no, they're listening in on my calls. I'm going to have to get some special, you know, and then do everything over Telegram because it's crazy, you know, and Edward Snowden said you can use Telegram, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And forget about it. You can't hide. There's no way to hide. Look, man, if you're not residing in the secret place of the Most High, then pack your bags up for the FEMA camps. Get ready to go. Get ready to go. We've all got to come to a place where we understand the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking in holiness and righteousness, and we are praying every day to be found worthy to escape all these things, that we have a contrite spirit. Because if you think that you have a guaranteed flight out in the barley harvest, well, you don't. None of us do. Anybody that thinks they do has presumptuous sin in their lives. All right? And that's, I'm sorry, but if there's people, I know there's people out there that just, you know, listen, I learned these things the hard way. And the hard way is pretty much in the kingdom of God. The hard way is pretty much the only way you're going to learn these things. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Otherwise, you're going to be listening to some preacher on YouTube and, oh, well, that was a really great teaching on Malachi and all that. Okay, fine. Okay, what have you learned that's going to help you in the days ahead? Nothing. Okay, whatever. You know, like, I'm all about applied Christianity, because right now at this point, you know, if you can't, you know, it's everybody, anybody can, you know, paint a pasty, happy smile on their face, stand at a podium, jump around, tell you all about how Jesus died on the cross and all that kind of stuff, you know, and bring in, you know, a bunch of sinners into their church and maybe get them to come up to the podium. It's a whole nother level, folks, to be part of the wise virgins. Part of the barley harvest. Wow, the first fruits, that's huge. And we don't know if we're going to make it. We're just hoping. I'm hoping. And I had a supernatural experience happen to me that gives me hope, and I'm holding on to it. Okay? All right, praise God, as we all ought to be. All right, praise Jesus. It gives us something to work toward, to pray about, and to be humble, contrite, and live and become the Beatitudes. We need to be the Beatitudes. Not mimic them. Not do it occasionally. Oh, no, 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 no. We need to be the Beatitudes. Matthew 5. All right, praise God. Next one up. Satellite images reveal North Korea expanding facility used to produce weapons-grade uranium. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see that. Thank you, Captain. I don't know. Here we go. 1 million Nigerian children to miss school due to Wait a minute. Mass kidnappings. Come on. No. Yes. One. Wait a minute. I was spending all of my time praying for the children that, you know, are being oppressed by the Taliban. Why? Because it's what you're paying attention to. 1 million Nigerian children, mass kidnappings. Where did all the children go? By the way, that is a the title of a chapter from David Icke's book, The Greatest Secret. You have to flip very fast past anything he says about Christianity, because his impression of Christianity, while the book is an excellent research, it's absolutely fabulous with its accuracy and its research. The problem with it is that Icke only sees Christianity from the eyes of the evilness of the Catholic slaughter of humanity and all that kind of thing. He doesn't understand that. So you just skip it over. All right. Praise God. Next one up. Hallelujah. The ozone hole over the South Pole is now bigger than Antarctica. Oh, no, that can't be happening. Must be because of, hey, Planet X. Next one up, Planet X, the sign of the Son of Man, Matthew 24:29. Have you read it lately? It's the sign of the Son of Man. The sign of the Son of Man. Read Matthew 24:29. That's about Planet X. Well, what do you know? Next one up. Melbourne earthquake. Damage reported as very rare. Wait a minute. Earthquakes in diverse places. Everything that Jesus said, signs in the sun and moon and the stars, seas roaring. It's all caused by what? The sign of the Son of Man. No, you say. Yes, I say. Oh, you know, if it was a monkey, it would have bit your nose off by now. Next one up. Alabama recorded more deaths than births in 2020 for the first time in state history. And they talk about, oh, COVID this, and 64,000 people died, and yada, yada, blah, blah, and all that kind of, wait. This is the definition of Nazi eugenics. I told people, I published articles. I said, please stop listening to the YouTubers that are telling you that 3,000 or 3 million, 6,000 and all that, it's the mark of the beast and all stuff, and millions of people are going to drop dead, and they're going to press a button that's going to detonate this secret thing inside of you, and all these people are just going to fall over in the middle. That's absolutely ridiculous. Satan hides himself. They're known as the occult for a reason. The word occult means hidden. They would never do anything that they would allow them to, that would allow people. Now eugenics, oh boy. Now that's real. Eugenics is to get rid of the weak. Eugenics, it's kill off as many people as you can without being noticed. Make people go sterile, which we already know that that's a side effect. All this. And the only one that doesn't have that side effect is the Johnson & Johnson one, because the formula is modeled after the seasonal flu. It's a regular seasonal flu vaccine. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, so let's go on to the next one. I'm sorry, I was wrong about that. AstraZeneca is also modeled after it. It just has a lot more kind of scary side effects. They didn't do some, you know, they kind of dorked up. All right, so anyway, and I think they're all awful. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, you do have an option. Well, actually, see, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Mark 16:16-18. These signs will follow those who believe, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. That word means to ingest. Then you have the, Paul on the island of Malta shaking the viper off his hand. Did the viper kill him? No. They thought it was a god. But do we act like that? Do we have any belief at all? Is there any faith? Why do you think Jesus said, will there be any faith left in the earth when I come? Because his own people don't even read his Bible. They don't even believe it. They don't believe the word. Well, if you don't believe the word, how can you say you believe in Jesus? Because Jesus is the word. Befuddles me, man. I don't get it. All right. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Israel killed Iran's top nuclear scientist from more than 1,000 miles away using a remote-controlled sniper machine gun. Yeah. Next one up. Hallelujah. Al Jazeera News out of Qatar says, North Korea says United States-Australia submarine deal is extremely undesirable. Next one up. Vatican closes its doors to those without a green pass. And of course, everybody thinks that's a vaccine, you know, pass and all that kind of thing. And it is. But listen, what it actually says is, quote, the green pass can be obtained by showing proof of vaccination against coronavirus, demonstrating recovery from coronavirus. Not sure how you do that. Or by showing a negative rapid antigen or PCR test, according to the Vatican Ordinance. Green pass, whatever. We've got so many names for these weird things. All right, next one up. Resistance emerges. Brave hospital defies Biden, ends COVID vaccine requirement for the staff. Bowing to the threat of legal violence against it, legal action against it, one Alabama hospital has rescinded its requirement that all staff be vaccinated against coronavirus. UAB Hospital in Birmingham says that it will wait to learn how the federal vaccine mandates announced by President Joe Biden play out before it imposes any requirements, according to WBRC TV. Of course, right now the NIH could be processing medical licenses and cancellation of the medical licenses of the people that actually run the hospital, but they wouldn't know it until they got the letter. Oh boy, the tangled webs we weave, huh? Amen. Next one up. Okay, once again, Tucker Carlson back at it. He says, Carlson on the border crisis. Biden did this on purpose, he says. Now, this one deserves this.
You're good. Thanks, Captain Obvious. I was on a totally different track.
Next one up. Republican senators propose measure to ban dishonorable discharges of unvaccinated military members. When I saw that, knowing what I know about the military and how it works, I thought, well, that's kind of crummy. Just dishonorables? Because they have bad conduct discharges too, and they're both felonies. This is inadequate. And then I actually did what other people tend to not do. I read it. And it says in the bill, they will only be allowed to give armed forces who refuse to vax honorable discharges. And I was like, okay, well, why don't you see it in the headlines, you meatheads? But anyway, that's just how it goes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then, of course, I could read, you know, all these animal deaths, and I could, but I'm not going to. Not now. I might, you know, need to share. I mean, 131 dead whales found. Alpha, you know, 6,000 birds, 20 tons of dead fish, 5 dolphins, 500 sheep killed by lightning in Georgia, millions of fish in America, cattle dying, drought in Mexico. It's just all over. Kent, England. Mass die off a fish in a river. Manatees. 881 manatees died in Florida. Are you kidding me? Nobody's going to want to come to Florida anymore. Oh, that's right. They don't come to see the manatees. Silly me. They come to see Walt Disney World so they can walk around with a mask. Hey, I wonder if the people that walk around in the big Mickey Mouse outfits, I wonder if Mickey Mouse is wearing like a gigantic COVID mask, you know, to make everybody feel, you know, comfortable and all this. I even saw a video today on Twitter. I kid you not. I don't know what country it was, but it was probably somewhere over in Thailand. And, you know, and the monkeys, you know, because their tourism dropped way off and the monkeys will, you know, there's a ecosystem that kind of exists across the world, and this is why the fourth seal in Revelation chapter 6, the fourth seal, bull, the pale horse, it says, and the beast of the earth at the very end of the fourth seal. Well, it's just saying that all the death and chaos and all that kind of stuff includes, you know, aberrant behavior from the animals as well. It was probably in Thailand is my best guess, because they have a real problem with monkeys kind of cruising around and doing whatever they want to do and in large groups, and they don't know what to do about it. They had this video of a monkey, you know, walking onto a sidewalk, and it finds a COVID mask, and it actually puts it on and wears it and goes walking. And everybody's laughing. You know, of course, it fell off its head because it didn't put it around its teeny-weeny little ears, like, you know, and that kind of thing. But anyway, it was kind of funny in a sad sort of apocalyptic way. Anyway, on that note, praise God, let's go ahead and let me just hold on a second. Let me see if I can find something. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, I know what I want to do. Let me see if I can do this. Oh, my eyes are burning from lack of sleep. I hate that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'm going to play this song. Praise God. We used to end the Peterson Chronicles with it all the time. This is by Brother Cease Taylor, otherwise known as Nicky Taylor. And, of course, we love the songs we also have from Brother Dan and Esther Mui and everything for the prayer vigil. Awesome stuff. Praise God. But anyway, this is Brother Cease Taylor. He also calls himself Nicky. And this is called Babylon, Heed the Call. And then we'll go right into the Planet X stuff. Pray for me because it's like voluminous. Here we go. I need to take a break.
Babylon, give heed to what I say. Judgment stands at your door today. You have stayed. You've lost your way. Your government's led with the spirit of the beast, secret societies and the mysteries, leading the world to accept the plan for government by Satan's man. Can you hear me? Take heed in what I say. Hear my voice. My church is in love with American dream, forgetting who she came. She loves four things. Asleep you can hear my watchmen cry, their message you say. It's only gloom and doom. We won't build a prophet, you say. Do you hear me? The very soul of your signal is dead, and so your gospel word is falling on your head. But pillar prophets fail you, they haven't faced that day. The time you had, you squandered away. Time is running out, the signs are very clear. Those who can hear my voice are drawing very near. Into my secret place your enemies can touch. She's covered by my blood, I love her very much. Her heart is for my world, she lives it every day. She's joined with me face to face, nothing takes my place.
Executive order signed by President Obama has sparked controversy on both sides of the political aisle. The National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order is signed quietly Friday night. Give the president the power to control U.S. resources.
The Rules Committee is going to meet in the House. They are going to come up with a rule that makes it okay for them to do a same-day bill. So they'll pass this bill. It's not called martial law.
While they're doing this, they're amassing as well in order to redirect it toward martial law endeavor, and not just in America, but globally. They want to lock down every country and force us to change the government, eventually force us to a global vision guarantee that is like the BM for it, like the IMF.
It's your day.
right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. My goodness. Where do I start? Okay. I'll start here. In 1981, Astronomy Magazine published an article entitled Search for the 10th Planet, 1981. And I will give you the excerpt from that article. Astronomers are readying telescopes to probe the outer reaches of our solar system for an elusive planet much larger than Earth. Its existence would explain a 160-year-old mystery. The pull exerted by its gravity would account for a wobble in Uranus's orbit that was first detected in 1821 by a French astronomer, Alexis Bouvard, beyond Pluto. In the cold, dark regions of space may lie an undiscovered 10th planet, two to five times larger than the size of the Earth. Astronomers at the United States Naval Observatory are using a powerful computer to identify the best target zones, and a telescope search will follow soon thereafter. Van Flandern thinks the 10th planet may be between 2 and 5 Earth masses and lie 50 to 100 astronomical units, 4.6 billion to 9.3 billion miles from the sun. It takes 40 years. No, it's 35 years to count to 1 billion. That's a lot. His team also presumes that, like Pluto's, the plane of the undiscovered body's orbit is tilted with respect to that of most of the other planets. In other words, it's not on the elliptical. It does not revolve around the sun on the ecliptic or on the ecliptic plane. Okay, so all the planets, you know, it's coming from a different direction. Okay, it's coming from the south of Earth, the south of the ecliptic plane, all right? And it says that it also says the path around the sun is highly elliptical. Now, the little ditty about the United States Naval Observatory, the person who was in charge of that activity that was mentioned in Astronomy Magazine in 1981 was a man by the name of Robert Harrington, who was the head of the United States Naval Observatory. Now, he made a public announcement, as his career was progressing, and he said, I am going to pack up. This is public. Okay. And the Navy didn't like this this is pretty bad. And this was in the '90s, around about 93, I recall, something like that. And he made a public announcement and said, I am going to pack up my telescope, retire, and head to Antarctica to watch for the approach of Planet X, because it would be coming in from the south side. By the way, there are a lot of infrared telescopes. All this stuff is researchable. Everything I say tonight is researchable information. Now, the unfortunate thing is that much of it has probably been long already removed. By who? Well, we already know. And by the way, definitely use DuckDuckGo. At least you have a better shot if it is still out there. All right. So right after Robert Harrington announced that he was going to pack up his telescope, leave the United States Naval Observatory job, et cetera, et cetera, he died a few months later by a fast-acting cancer. Now, congressional testimony given by the CIA, I don't have a copy of that handy, but it is on documentaries and things if you do your homework, and you can find it. They have essentially they can shoot a dart. It hits the person, falls to the ground, and they either have a heart attack or they can die of a fast-acting cancer. They murdered him, okay, but it was untraceable. So, of course, everybody's like, oh, darn, poor Dr. Harrington, you know, and all that kind of stuff, whatever. All right, praise God. So welcome to our evil world. Next up, thank you, Jesus. The New York Times inside the New York Times in June 19th of 1982, the New York Times printed an article that was entitled, quote, Some Kind of Mystery Object is Really There. And here's what the article said. The snippet said, a pair of American spacecraft may help scientists detect detect what could be a 10th planet or a giant object billions of miles away, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, that would be NASA, said on Thursday. So in this case, NASA's they're admitting it openly. Scientists at the space agency's Ames Research Center said that the two spacecraft, Pioneer 10 and 11, which are already further in the space than any other man-made object, might add to the knowledge of a mysterious object believed to be beyond the solar system's outermost known planets. Next one up, Newsweek, June 28th of 1982. The title of the article was, Does the Sun Have a Dark Companion? We'll talk a little bit about the darkness associated with brown dwarf in a second. Goes on and says, referring to Uranus and Neptune wobbles, okay, again, says, this odd behavior suggests that the sun has an unseen companion, a dark star, gravitationally bound to it by billions of miles away. Next one up, Astronomy Magazine, October 1982 edition, searching for the 10th planet. States, both Uranus and Neptune follow irregular paths that observers can explain only by assuming, which is how they discover all these things, you know, can explain only by assuming the presence of an unknown body whose gravity tugs at the two planets. Okay, next one up, New York Times, January 30th, 1983, prints, There's Something Out There. And it says, Something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational forces keep perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbit. The force suggests the presence of a far and away an unseen large object that may be long-sought Planet X. Did you know that in, I think it was 1953, they made a movie called The Man from Planet X? In 1953. Pretty sure it was 53. Washington Post prints, in December 30th of 1983, an entitled article that's entitled Heavenly Body Discovered, Possibly as Large as Jupiter. Orbiting Eye Reveals Mysterious Space Monster. A heavenly body possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to Earth that it would be a part of this solar system has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the United States Infrared Astronomical Satellite. So they said they saw it with the infrared satellite scope. Man, they're claiming they saw it right here. United States News and World Report, September 10th of 1984. Quote, article is entitled, Planet X, Is It Really Out There? And then it goes on to explain that they use the IRAS, the Infrared Astronomical Telescope, with its ability to detect heat from an object a billion miles away. Another one, 1987, New Science and Invention Encyclopedia, talks about 2,488 space probes, two Pioneer space probes, searches for planets, and shows that there's a dead star 538 astronomical units from our solar system. And then all of a sudden, with no warning whatsoever, there's total radio silence, and nobody hears not another word about Planet X. That's the way it is. It's kind of like this. Enough of that. You know what I mean? It is. Shortly thereafter, Robert Harrington, a couple of years later, said, bye-bye, everybody. I'm going down to Antarctica to watch Planet X come in. Hit by a dart, drops dead from a fast-acting cancer. Bye-bye. It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father Malachi Martin mentions it. There's also a special that was done by John Moore. John Moore is like so hyped up about Nibiru that he's even moved to the Ozarks and, you know, above a certain level because he was told by his Navy contacts that when it does not hit planet Earth. A lot of people think it hits planet Earth. A lot of people think that in the second trumpet in Revelation, when something like that, like a mountain, is on fire and falls into the seas and all, you know, all that kind of stuff, that that's Nibiru impacting Earth. I'm here to tell you, no, it isn't. Now, could there be an impact? This thing is huge, and it drags with it an unbelievable amount of debris. It also, brown dwarf stars are essentially, see, stars have lifespans, and there are many, many different types of stars. The yellow dwarf star is, now, a lot of this information has been obscured, and it has been falsely debunked by counterintelligence because nobody wants anybody to know. Nobody wants anybody to know. And you know what? Based upon how people act on the earth when they hear about something bad coming, you know about the toilet paper crisis, right? You know about the people ready to kill each other over masks right now, right? You know, I mean, whether you like her or not, Joyce Myers is right. Most Christians aren't smart enough to know how to breathe. Thank goodness for the autonomic nervous system, et cetera, you know? She says it tongue in cheek, of course, she's joking, but she makes an interesting point. I'm going to share this with you. In the, also be advised that there are, you've got the Hopi red and blue star Kachina Hopi prophecies. You've got, Jeremiah, the destroyer in the Holy Bible, where it actually refers to it as the destroyer of nations. The lion has come up from his thicket and the destroyer of nations is on his way. He has come forth from his place to make your land desolate and your cities laid waste without inhabitant. Whoa. For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has turned his back from us. You know, watch this now. Matthew 24, I mistyped it, and of course my PC study Bible is leaving me down. All right, hold on a second. 24:29. Don't forget Douglas Elwell and his outstanding book entitled Planet X, The Sign of the Son of Man. You know what? He's right. Immediately after the exceedingly difficult times of those days, it uses the word tribulation, but it doesn't precede it with the word great, so this is just talking about very, very difficult times. Immediately after the exceedingly difficult times of those days, or exceedingly apocalyptic times of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear here in the heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Yeah. All right, and of course it goes on to say, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and the whole understanding, and to gather his elect from the four winds and the far ends of the that's a little bit, there's some metaphor associated with that. It's a little complicated. I don't have time to go into all that. But and then a lot of people are like, you know, well, the rapture doesn't happen until after the seventh trumpet and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, sorry, but I listened to Pastor so-and-so and I paid $39.95 for the DVD set about Book of Revelation. And it says, okay, God bless you. Have a nice day. Anyway, in the book of 2 Esdras, chapter 15, verse 40. Now, so be advised that in the 16th, for all you King James only people, okay, that's fine, whatever. All you, the 1611 King James had 14 books of the Apocrypha in it. In it when it was published, okay? And one of them was, or actually two of the 14 were the first book of Esdras and the second book of Esdras. Now, remember, it was the Nicene Council, which was made up of probably a bunch of shape-shifting reptilians from the, where? The Vatican. Rap-row. Not too many years away from the time that Pope Innocent was sending out people, you know, on horseback to kill the true Christians, the Bogomils, the Polycians, you know, the ones that were a part of the original churches. They had to be slaughtered because they were heretics. Anyway. So, you know, the last thing I would do was, trust the Nicene Council to tell me what books I should be reading. But at least our Heavenly Father did protect what we needed to have to find our way. Nobody's reading it anyways. And what they're reading, they're not understanding anyhow. Oh, well, you know, it is what it is. And we're just going to have to keep on, you know, praying our way up until the point of departure. Praise God. All right. So next, listen to this. Behold, a horrible vision and the appearance thereof from the east. Verse 29, where the nations of the dragons of Arabia. Wait a minute. It's calling them dragons. Isn't that what Biden is? The earnest pupils turning into that of a viper. Isn't the Testament of Reuben talking about that? Aren't those the Nakash that were written about in the white paper by, you know, Dr. Michael Heiser, right? Wait a minute. It's in the Bible. It's here. It's there. It's everywhere. It's in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then it calls them the dragons of Arabia, where the nations of the dragons of Arabia shall come out with many chariots, and the multitude of them shall be carried as the wind upon the earth. Oh, my, these chariots will be flying through the sky. Chariots. Where else do we hear about chariots? Says that all they which hear them will fear and tremble. Says also the Carmagians, raging in wrath, shall go forth like wild boars out of the wood. With great power they shall come and join in the battle with them, and they shall lay waste a portion of the land of the Assyrians. And it goes on and on. It's, you know, you got to kind of decipher it. But I want to jump ahead to verse 40. It gets very interesting. It kind of sounds like some of the stuff Jesus warned us about. But remember, when Jesus was warning about, see, it's complicated. Because when Jesus was delivering the Olivet Discourse from the Mount of Olives, he was trying to cover a lot of material on relatively short notice. And it wasn't like he was going to sit there and say, okay, like there's a barley harvest, there's a wheat harvest, the barley harvest is going to happen after the third season. You know what I'm saying? He had to make his address applicable to the largest group possible. He had to make his address applicable to the largest group possible. Okay? Get it? Because the only people that are going to hear the sound of Jesus' trumpet when he comes for his clandestine rescue missions, because the whole thing with Jesus showing up in the sky and all the people and the tribes of the earth mourning and all that kind of stuff, why would the tribes of the earth be sad when they saw Jesus come? Why would they be? Don't you see? That's not talking about the rapture, folks. That's talking about way down the road. That's talking about the prophetic words in the book of Jude, where it says that Enoch the ninth or something along the line. I'm trying to do this from my memory without looking it up, but Enoch the ninth, from Adam, was shown. Oh, Dickens. I'm gonna praise God. Charles Dickens. I'm gonna go ahead and pull it up. All right, pugga dude. All right, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so likewise, dream is a divine. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, Michael, there's so much stuff. It's just unbelievable. The book of Jude is like jam. Oh, yeah. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly amongst them, and all who are them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against Jesus. Okay? Hey, guys, where are the 10,000s of the saints coming from? By the way, it does say 10,000s of his saints. This is essentially a direct reference to Revelation chapter 19, where Jesus comes back on the white horse with his saints. Okay? This is the very end. Okay? Now, go back to 2 Esdras, chapter 15, verse 40. Check it out. It's amazing. The great and mighty clouds shall be puffed up and full of wrath, and the star, that they may make all the earth afraid, and them that dwell therein. And they shall pour out on every high mountain and eminent place a horrible star, fire and hail, flying swords and many waters, that all fields may be full and all rivers with the abundance of great waters. And they shall break down the cities and the walls and the mountains and the hills and the trees and the wood and the grass and the meadows and the corn. And they shall go steadfastly unto Babylon and make her afraid. Hey, who's the they? Is this horrible star coming with something? Uh-huh. It's coming with a whole bunch of them, actually. Dragons of Arabia. Okay. But, you know, it's only in found of the King James. I mean, certainly it's not believable. Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So let me take a look at here. Also, for a little bit of your fun and joy doing some more research on Planet X, you can go out and search Wikipedia, which has a really great article on Percival Lowell. Simply look up the Lowell, L-O-W-E-L Observatory, and read it very carefully, and you will discover that it was founded by a man named Percival Lowell, and it will say that he was driven to put up the observatory, and naturally he, you know, wasn't cheap, and for the sole purpose of tracking Planet X. Imagine that. But then, of course, Wikipedia quickly adds that, you know, mythological Planet X, and, you know, how it was a total waste of his time and all this other blah, 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 whatever. All right. Praise God. Now, isn't it fascinating how our Heavenly Father always includes a movie, doesn't he? Or sometimes a whole bunch of movies, right? He does. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Our Father is trying so hard to get people's attention. And it's working. I know people are waking up. A lot of them come to me and say, what's going on, man? All right. So anyway, so if you can get your hands on it, I actually have a legitimate copy. I got it off the internet. There's a television series from way back, somewhere around 2004, 2005. It's a television series. It was actually aired on, I don't know, like ABC or something like that. Very similar to the miniseries V for Visitors, which is another prophetic TV series, which I believe that you can still possibly see on Netflix, at least a few seasons of it. And you only need to see the first two, really, to get the prophetic part. Because when they come, everybody is going to think they're our saviors. That's the strong delusion. Okay, a lot of people think it's other things. It's not. For God sends a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. And the lie is that they are our creators. They're going to be pretty quick to tell us about it, too. They're going to tell us that Jesus was an ascended master. All the Christians are wrong. That's why there's an Illuminati playing card that has a UFO hovering over the top of it. They already know. That's why NASA, I covered this on the show, the alien ship Barley Harvest, where Pastor Sawyer parked with Jesus, and Jesus told him NASA's going to come on TV and tell everybody that the aliens took him. Kind of shows you that the Sergio Manast testimony from his inside insider experience at NASA about Project Bluebeam has some holes in it, don't it? Sounds more like a counterintelligence operation. But there's still Christians out there that, well, they believe that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Like I said, folks, I've been around way too long. I remember when the American Express card was the mark of the beast. I remember when everybody was afraid to use a microwave because it was going to cause this to cause, and you're going to die from that. I remember when there was so much fuss in the Christian community over the barcode. Oh, my goodness, we've discovered the separator symbol is a 666. It must be that. It must be this. No, it must be what your Bible says. Please, in the name of Jesus, read it. Oh, it's exacerbating. But oh well, it will be what it is. I'm still getting hits on my website from people leaving comments. I just don't put the comments up anymore. I don't have time to moderate it. And it's so full of balderdash and poppycock, I don't have time. And I'm certainly not going to answer them. I'm not going to get into a fight. Proverbs 16:6 or 6:16, 17, 18 and stuff, you know, causing division amongst the brethren is an abomination unto the Lord. You need to just entreat them and say, God bless you. Jesus is Lord. Amen. High five. All right. I love you in Christ. And then bail. Okay. Get out of there before they get a pitchfork and try to hang you from a tree. Okay. Praise God. All right, the Vatican vet. Oh, and by the way, the TV series about the brown dwarf, you'll learn a lot about brown dwarfs. First, it's important to note that brown dwarf stars, so kind of like here's how it works. We are in a yellow dwarf solar system. Okay, and you can look this up. By the way, there's lots of counterintelligence out there now, and they will say that, oh, people used to believe that, you know, there were a lot of yellow dwarf stars, and it was the most popular star, and most of them that were binary inside the Milky Way galaxy. Listen to me. There's lots of counterintelligence out there right now that will tell you that that theory is no longer, it's proven wrong. And I'm here to tell you, bunk! All right? There is a fantastically large number of yellow dwarf stars that are binary star systems in the Milky Way galaxy. It is an exceedingly common astrophysical dynamic that occurs and has occurred for a very, very long time. Okay, and this is not new news. Okay, what's new news is them trying to debunk it. Okay, that's the problem. So anyway, you're going to meet with, I'm telling you what it is. Okay, there's a lot of yellow dwarf stars, which is what we have. We have a yellow dwarf. It's a little bitty star compared to other ones. Okay, it's a small star. It's yellow because it's diminishing. Its lifespan is essentially running out. That's why all the ham radio operators like me, who are, you know, like I'm an amateur extra class. I, you know, the whole deal. I've got a lifetime license for, you know, ham radio. I've got one sitting here, a really nice one, sitting here on the Golden JIB Studios desk. And and I'm here to tell you, there's no sunspot activity anymore. Why? Sunspot activity is normal. Now, what we do have is the occasional appearance of a coronal hole, which is a sign of a yellow dwarf starting to die. But they're not going to tell you that. There was a I used to play a clip all the time of a testimony of a solar scientist from Sonoma University. He got fired because he started telling everybody that our sun was dying. Well, he was right. The ham radio operators are all bummed out. Because without the sunspot cycles occurring on their normal, because when sunspot cycles occur on normal, you know, solar cycles on their normal patterns, there are certain times of the year that you get incredible. What it happens is it ionizes the F layer of the, because the atmosphere around the Earth is in layers, and there's what's known as the ionosphere. That's also referred to as the F layer. And when the sun becomes, you know, when its heliosphere becomes full of neutrinos and excited with, you know, plasma particles, et cetera. I'm not talking about a massive EMF event or nothing like that. I'm just talking about, you know, not a Carrington event or none of that. I'm talking about just normal cycles. When that occurs, the ionosphere of the Earth becomes energized, becomes ionically charged. And when that occurs, certain radio frequencies bounce off of it. Now, back in the 70s and such, for those of us who are old enough to remember, that you know, the CB radio was all the big deal back then. Why? Because there was an extreme solar cycle that was occurring back then, and it caused exceedingly large amounts of ionization of the F layer on the Earth. And all of a sudden, the so-called 11-meter band, and 11 meters is the actual wavelength between the radio waves, and in between each wave, kind of like waves on an ocean, and in between each wave, there were exactly 11 meters of length. 11 meters belongs to what's called Citizens Band, CB radio. And anybody who ever had a CB radio knows how annoying it was that there were all these meatheads that went down to the local Ace Hardware and picked up a Cobra $40 CB radio, stuck an antenna up on their house, and all you ever heard was people going, "How about you, Skip Land? How about you, Skip Land? Because for the first time, CB radio had been around for a while, but now they were able to, they discovered that they could talk to somebody if somebody in Florida could talk to somebody in California on their little $40 Cobra CB radio they picked up at Ace. And they got all excited. How about you, Skip Land? Now, of course, the ham radio operators are like, "Oh, boy." Anyway, okay, so much for that. We don't have that anymore. Okay, the reason why when Hurricane Irma came up, because we prayed live on the air, I had Jose, we did a live radio show while Irma was moving up the central part of the peninsula of Florida, and it passed by Tampa. It caused a lot of damage, power outages for many, many days. But I anointed all the trees around my house. I anointed every one of them with oil. I prayed, and I had not one problem except for a single tree. And it wasn't one that I missed with holy oil. It was on my neighbor's property. And it was a very tall palm. And during the radio show, that tree fell over and hit just above the Golden JIB studios. But it did not hurt my house. You know why? Because it hit my ham radio antenna. But to this day, I've never bothered to go up there and straighten it back out, as expensive and as painful as it was to build the darn thing. It's kind of like, what's the why? Because the sun, it's dying. Our sun is dying. Why? Has to do so when a yellow dwarf star dies, it collapses in on itself and it becomes, guess what, a brown dwarf. Now, if the collapse is of a magnitude great enough, in other words, they have different degrees of how hard they collapse and how dense the mass becomes of the star when the star collapses. Okay, and if it is a significantly, high density collapse, it can be a version of a brown dwarf that is minus 243 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, that is not visible. Okay, you can't see it without an infrared attachment. Okay? You can't see it without an infrared attachment on it. Okay? I hope you're following along. All right? And so you've got to have infrared to be able to see it. It's a solar system, folks. I know that there are a lot of very, very smart people that believe that it's a rogue planet and it's a singular planet. It's all by itself and it's just kind of floating around. And, and of course, these people who believe in such things, they never could stop to consider that, if a planet is rogue and it's just floating around and it gets within the heliosphere of any given star, that it would be captured by the gravitational pull of the star, if you believe in gravity. I don't. I believe in the electroplasma universe, and everything is electromagnetic, which is why Montauk and Robert Vandreas Mitchell, and they can use that to time travel. They can use that to teletransport in different parts of the universe. They can open up wormholes and all that other ley line stuff. That's okay. There's still Newtonian people out there, Newtonian physics. Okay, no problem. I'm having a vision of a Benny, not Benny Hill. Yeah, Benny Hill. You know, where they pat the bald-headed old man on the head, having like a moment. Okay. But anyway, so imagine two yellow dwarf stars with a 3,600-year orbit. Some people think it's less. And some people, you know, and that's okay. It might not be 3,600 years. That's just extrapolated from the ancient writings, and all of the ancient writings write about it. Even Percival Lowell was studying the ancient Japanese texts. That's how he found out about Planet X, and that's why he built the Lowell Observatory. Okay. But it's also covered by the Sumerian text. It's covered by the Sanskrit text, the Mahabharata, I can never say this right, Bhagavad-gita or whatever. It's in all of them. It's in our Bible. It's in the Colburn Bible from Egypt. I mean, it's actually called the Destroyer in the Colburn Bible, and it's called the Destroyer in our Holy Bible. But it also has the name of Nibiru. Of course, it's got the nickname Planet X. It's got some people refer to them as Nemesis. Some people say that they're actually different objects. Then people go like, well, wait a minute, how come I always see two suns? You know, all these pictures of two suns in the skies, because they're saying it's Nibiru, it's Planet X. But what they're not realizing, they don't understand a lot. They don't understand parallax. They don't understand how the relationship of planets as they're orbiting around one another, particularly when they're in a an obtuse orbit. Okay, they're not. These two solar systems are not orbiting around each other on a flat plane. It's not like you could put them on a 33.5 LP and just, you know, put little models of them and rotate them around each other. It's not like that. The orbits are they're angular. They're in an angle, which is why the approach of Planet X is coming up from the south of the Earth. They're not. It's not aligned with the ecliptic plane of this solar system, which, by the way, makes it a serious perturbance because of that. And actually, it could be even worse if it was aligned, I suspect, because aligned electromagnetic force would cause you to have what? You know, more. Okay. So anyway, now that you understand that it's very common to have yellow dwarf stars fail, it's very common to have yellow dwarf stars, and each star has – it's very, very common, very unusual indeed to have a star just kind of hovering out there on its own with no planets around it. You know why? Because rogue planets, when they're floating around get captured by stars, and then they orbit around the stars. Get it? And evidently, there's this anomaly, there's this thing, it's kind of hard to explain, but that orbit is always or typically on an ecliptic plane. So they tend to be orbiting on the same plane. Well, anyway, so when one of those two binary stars, you've got two solar systems, and the two solar systems orbit around one another. Now, the Sumerian texts and some of the other texts indicate that it's a 3,600-year period. That's actually not very long. Now, some researchers, they shortened that period because they want it to align better with some of the events that happened in the Bible. What is fascinating is that if you study the proper book of Enoch, which there are some not so good ones, you will discover that there is in chapter 65, it says, and Noah saw that the earth had tilted and knew that destruction was near. Imagine that. It's kind of like the Inuit Eskimos. and all of that testimony. And that's been it's been flying around the internet recently again. And I get, you know, and people are like, look, the Inuit Eskimos, they're complaining because they can't, you know, and the earth is in all this. And then you've got the book that is very rare right now, and I have an original copy. I wonder how much I could get for it. Probably thousands. It's called World in Peril. This goes all the way back to the 1940s, where they had scientists that were flying in propeller planes. Imagine that, you know. And they discovered that the Earth was tilting more. I'm not talking about the magnetic shift, you know. I'm not talking about that, where the polarity of the Earth shifts and flips. That some people say that that's going to create No, the Earth is actually physically tilting on its axis. It's been doing it slower, more and more and more. The very, very, very rare collector's item book that I have, entitled World in Peril, is all the data that these scientists collected back in the 40s that proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that the planet Earth was tilting. That's why it was called World in Peril, because if it kept tilting, it was going to be an end game. Well, it's still been doing it since the 40s. More and more and more. Why? Because there's a brown dwarf. It's a brown dwarf solar system. The closer it gets in its period, in its orbital period to this solar system, it's already. So, do you know how far 93 million miles is? 93 million miles. Do you know how far that is? That's basically what they call an astronomical unit, give or take a few miles. It's 93.xyz miles. That astronomical unit, AU, is what they use to measure distance in the solar system, but mainly in the solar system. Otherwise, they have to go and with light years and things like that, because stuff starts getting really far away. All right, but anyway, so do you have any idea how far away that is? 93 million miles. That is a long ways away. Why do you think all these asteroids that they call near-Earth objects keep missing us by the skin of their chinny-chin-chin? And that ain't going to go on for long. They're not going to. And the closer that the planet X solar system, because it's dragging debris with it. Why is that? Why does it do that? Why is there this concept of red iron oxide dust? Why is there a red star Kachina from the Hopi prophecies? And they also have a Gourd prophecy about, the Gourd prophecy is talking about nuclear war. And I'm not saying they are anointed by the Holy Spirit or anything. I'm just saying it's very fascinating. Get yourself a copy, if you can, of the TV series Impact on DVD, if you can. You will see, interestingly so, you will see scientists. I don't want to ruin it for you, but Let's put it this way. What I'm about to read to you right now, I'm going to have to find it. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see if I can find it. I have so much data. I'm just bulging at the seams here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, there it is. What do you know? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. Like I said, I could do so many shows on this subject. I studied this. And then, of course, I collect prophecies, dreams and visions and stuff that are also associated with Planet X. And by the way, Sarah Monet from 1979 died and a near-death experience. And the Lord was gracious enough to take her to heaven. And she became a spokesperson for Jesus for her whole life. You know, that's what usually happens. And anyway, you know, once you meet Jesus, you're kind of like, oh, man, I ain't going back to that accounting job. Come on. You know, sorry about that. I won't be seeing you on Monday. But anyway, praise God. So one of the anomalies that happens, so not only do you have the Earth tilting, but there's more to the story. And just talking about the influences, the electromagnetic influences, not the Newtonian gravity influences, that alone is enough to explain everything that we're seeing happening on the Earth right now. It's enough to explain the fact that our sun is dying. It's enough to explain the strange anomalous weather patterns that we're having, the rising of the oceans, the breaking off of the Larsen B, Larsen C, and many other ice shelves now. They're just saying, oh, it's global warming. Oh, it's cataclysmic climate change caused by, well, people are eating too many beef, too much beef. And oh, my, we have to get rid of the coal industry. You know, see, so they're basically, what they're doing is they're making up narratives to appease the people who know better and know that the earth, these things are going on. They know it's not just a pattern, okay? And they're too unrighteous to be able to see it in the Holy Bible when Jesus said, signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, seas roaring, okay? And that's just the tip of the iceberg of things. Jesus said earthquakes in diverse places. I just read to you there was an earthquake in Melbourne, I believe it was Melbourne, Australia, and it was like a 6. It said extremely rare, okay? We used to do an earthquake report back in 2011, 2012. There's this strange, bizarre, unusual locations of earthquakes. The volcano's popping off. What happens when a yellow dwarf star collapses? It becomes the most powerful magnet in the universe. If it gets too close to planet Earth, cars and trains and anything metal will fly right up in the air. Okay, get the movie Impact, please, or the TV series. Lorenzo Lorio, and this is still available out on Cornell University's website. It is peer-reviewed. Now, what does peer-review mean? Peer-review means that people with a similar or greater set of credentials from exceedingly advanced universities and multiple PhDs, et cetera, you know, and theoretical astrophysics, which is one of the most difficult degrees to get in the world, okay, they looked at the paper and said, you know what, he's right. Because in that world, you have to have your paper peer-reviewed before the universities will accept it. Okay, it's just a rule. Otherwise, you can be some crackpot, and then the university don't want nothing to do with you. You know, like all of us weird conspiracy theorists. But we're not. Now, I'm going to read to you this paper. This paper was printed in April of 2011. Mm-hmm. It is, as far as I know, it is still available on Cornell University. You can search for it. It is entitled On the Anomalous Secular Increase of the Eccentricity of the Orbit of the Moon. Okay? All right. I'm going to read you just the abstract. The abstract is the kind of like the introduction to the paper. Now, and there may be 20 or 30 more pages of scientific information that substantiates this person's finding. But the abstract basically is a teaser. It's a teaser so the other scientists, when they read it, they go, whoa, this is some seriously cool stuff. I got to read more. You get it? Okay, that's what an abstract of a white paper is, a scientific white paper. I'm going to read you the abstract. And I know I'm running out of time. I've only got like 12 minutes left, but I got to get to bed. We can do more of this later. I got a ton of audio clips, folks. I got a ton. But anyway, and prophecies and stuff. But listen to this. Abstract. This is from L. Lorio. And by the way, this is an Italian university. All right. All right, I'm going to read this to you. The abstract states, a recent analysis of a lunar laser ranging, or LLR, data recording spanning 38.7 years revealed an anomalous increase, of the eccentricity expressed in the form of the variable E of the lunar orbit. Well, what does the moon orbit around? Planet Earth. What does it mean when it says eccentricity? Well, the moon should be orbiting around the Earth in exactly the same distance at all times. It should be circular, like the Earth, which is a sphere. Sorry, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's a sphere. It's a sphere like all the other planets are. And no, they didn't doctor millions of images from the space stations and stuff. Can you imagine how much of that would have cost? What do you think, $80, $90, $100 trillion to doctor up all those images? Come on. But anyway, the present-day models, I'm reading more from the abstract, the present-day models of the dissipative phenomenon occurring in the interior. So basically, eccentricity means it's oval-shaped. And it's an anomaly because it's weird. And it's increasing over time. So the guy's been studying the data over a 38-year period of time. What did I just tell you? 1940, the rare book that I got, you know, Earth in Peril, about the, you know, and they're actually doing measurements, scientific measurements, and they're going, oh, my gosh, the Earth is tilting. This is impossible. No, it's not. And he goes on to say, and he uses a lot of his, you know, this, he goes, Newtonian, it's all kind of fancy scientific stuff. He talks about the Newtonian and Einsteinian paradigms. He says, it turns out that none of them can accommodate for E, which is the eccentricity problem that's increasing over time. He's using lunar laser ranging equipment. This is some expensive stuff. You don't pick this up at Ace Hardware like a, you know, CB radio. Okay? All right. And he says many of them do not even induce long-term changes in E. Other models do instead yield such an effect, but the resulting magnitudes are in disagreement with E. In particular, the general relativistic gravitomagnetic acceleration of the moon due to the Earth's angular momentum has the right order of magnitude, but the resulting lens-throwing secular effect for the eccentricity vanishes. A potential, listen closely, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. This is coming. This is currently published. It is public. It is peer-reviewed by scientists. It is published on Cornell University's website. And I am reading this to you exactly. Quote, A, potentially viable Newtonian candidate, which basically means gravitational pull candidate, would be a trans-Plutonian massive object. By the way, trans-Plutonian means it's already past Pluto. Oh, my goodness. Which would explain why we have two suns in the sky all over the place. Why is that? Well, I'll mention that in a second. I'm running out of time. But it says right here, it says a trans-Plutonian. I suppose that could be, no, I take that back. It could be past Pluto. Okay, sorry about that. I'm going to go with past Pluto on that meaning. And it says massive, massive object. And then he puts in brackets, planet X, nemesis, or Tyche. Planet X, nemesis, or Tyche. Now get you a copy of the TV series Impact. Now, I'm not talking about the TV series Deep Impact with Danny Glover playing the president and all that kind of stuff and the two kids riding the cycle or, you know, the motorcycle, the dirt bike to get up on the side of a mountain to get away from the tidal wave that came from the meteor. And forget that. Not Deep Impact. It's just called Impact. Okay. And it's all about a brown dwarf and the effects of it on the Earth. All this stuff is happening now. Oh, let's see here. Praise God. Running out of time. Oh, my. You could read Emanuel Velikovsky's paper, The Future Cataclysms on Earth in the Eyes of Emanuel Velikovsky. That's spelled V-E-L-I-K-O-V-S-K-Y. Emmanuel spelled almost like Jesus's name Emmanuel, except with an I. I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. Velikovsky. Entitled The Future Cataclysms on Earth. Now, and it goes on. Robert Mock, M.D., wrote this, and he made one mistake. one. But the rest of it's right on. And there used to be a website where a lot of this was available at a place called BibleSearchers.com. I don't even know if the website still exists. But the mistake that they made was to associate Planet X with the 2012 Mayan end of the age, which naturally you would do. But the problem is our Heavenly Father doesn't care about the Mayan calendar. Our Heavenly Father doesn't care about the NSA whistleblowers. Our Heavenly Father doesn't care about those things. And you know what? Satan doesn't have the power to steer planets and things like that. Maybe at one time he did, but not now. I don't think so. He's the prince of the air of the earth. His focus is he's being used by our Heavenly Father ultimately to bring in the greatest final harvest of the ever in the history of all of creation. Okay? Because when people are afraid, they run to Jesus. So when they know that, you know, when they hear that a tidal wave has wiped out 22 million people on the east coast of the United States, what happened to all of the saints that got killed? And those would most likely be the wheat harvest saints. What happened to them? They went to heaven. But what happened to the rest of when all the lights go out, when all the things, when the meteors start hitting, when the oil and gas fires start happening, when you know, there's so many things that are coming upon the earth. The Taliban is the least of our worries. Oh, no, I'm so worried about the Noahide laws. Like, well, you better look, take 15 minutes and look at my collection of information. That'll be the least of your concerns. I assure you. Dr. O'Rourke's prophecy of a planetary event that is going to happen above the earth, talking about, that Jehovah is going to place a new moon in the sky. Hallelujah. Listen, people, there's going to be a planetary event, he says. A wondrous sign above the earth, he says. Well, he even says, I see several planets and moons are lining up in a straight line. That's what he says. Now, of course, he's looking at it from a prophetic visionary standpoint. But and of course, it's not going to, with the physics, it rarely does. You've got, listen to this, a white paper written by Peter Schwartz and Doug Randall, An Abrupt Climate Change Scenario and Its Implications for the United States National Security, written in October of 2003. Imagining the Unthinkable. The purpose of this report is to imagine the unthinkable, to push the boundaries of current research on climate change. This is 2003, folks. It says, we have interviewed leading climate change scientists, conducted additional research, and reviewed several iterations of the scenario with these experts. The scientists support this project, but caution that the scenario depicted is extreme in two fundamental ways. First, they suggest the occurrences we outlined would most likely happen in a few regions rather than globally. That's because they don't know. There's a solar system in our solar system. By the way, this is how you explain all of the appearances of the second suns. There's 5 to 7, and this is, you know, you can't confirm the 5 to 7. You don't know if it's 5, 6, or 7, but there is 5 to 7 planets that are well, I'll just say revolving because I can't think of the word, around it, okay? And the center collapsed star is Nibiru, or Planet X, and they are now in our solar system today. And so when you have that many planets at a certain particular time coming up from the south, and they're on that, you know, ecliptic that's associated, that particular they're revolving around Nibiru, and then they move. They're moving at an angle, so you're not going to be able to see them at the same place in the sky all the time. Now, everybody's always asking, why can't I see it? Why can't I see it? How come it's anomalous? Why can't you see it all the time? Because of the relationship, the angular relationship of the rotation of these planets around planet X. See, when you understand that 93 million miles is that big, you can have an entire solar system moving through our solar system with a hidden brown dwarf star in the middle of it, and it explains every single thing that is happening across the Earth, the volcanoes, the crevasses, the earthquakes, everything that Jesus warned us about, signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, seas roaring, the whole deal, everything is explainable. Noah's statement, he'd seen the Earth and tilted and knew that destruction was near. Book of Enoch, chapter 65. The Vatican VAT telescope on the top of Mount Graham has been there. They've known about it. If I do a second version of this show, I will feed you tons and tons more information. You can go out there and you can search on the Lucifer attachment. That's what they actually call it. It is currently published on popsci.com. Lucifer instruments help astronomers see through darkness of the most distant observable objects. Okay, in Google Cosmos or whatever they call it, they actually black out parts of the star systems that you're able to see on that program. There's black patches. They're blacking it out. The Lucifer space or the Lucifer attachment was they made up Lucifer and they called it. They're just saying, oh, and it tells you that it's installed at Mount Graham, the Vatican Observatory at Mount Graham. It says right here, the Vatican. Imagine them calling it Lucifer. Why would they do that? Because they worship the devil. They worship the devil. That is their gods coming to the earth. This is it. The Lucifer, it's called Lucifer because it's the large binocular telescope. Or I'm sorry, let me get the whole deep, 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 deep. Okay, here we go. Large binocular telescope near infrared utility with camera and integral field unit. See, that's what they really meant. Oh, we accidentally called it Lucifer. Doggone it. We didn't mean to do that. Only kidding. No, they're not. That's why the Pope comes out and waves at the horizon on Sol Invictus on the 25th of December while everybody's, waving to the Pope and going, yay! He isn't waving at the people. He's waving to them. Because at the moment he waves, Pleiades and Sirius are peeking over the horizon of the earth. He's waving to them. And if I do a two of this series, I will read you the letters from the Vatican priest that I captured from a Coast to Coast AM radio show with Art Bell back in the 90s. And they are they're referred to as the Vatican priest letters number 1 and number 2. And it tells how they have their own black operations. They have their black ops. Don't get me going on the Jesuits and the Black Pope and all that other weird evilness. I mean, it's just so deep, so dark. The Illuminati. When you're born into the Illuminati families, depending, they will in some cases take you to a ritual to what they call a German father, and then they take you to the Vatican down into the catacombs down underneath, and they sacrifice. They do human sacrifice, and you have to watch. And you're usually about the age of 12 when they're doing it. And they do the blood thing and all that. Praise God. But anyway, we're getting really close, folks. We're getting really close. Praise God. Anyway, thank you for listening. I know I went over time, and I know the people that are listening to the live feed are probably going, daggone it. I wish you wouldn't have gone over time. But anyway, they can catch the last few minutes on the podcast. And I may do a part two on the next time that I do a solo show. Please, if you would care to pray, and I mean please pray that the Lord will control my job and calm it down and keep the radio show supernaturally protected by his angels, and my job supernaturally protected by his angels, that it doesn't overtake me, because the devil will try to use it. And with enough prayer, we can overcome that. Praise God. Also, pray for Sister Nancy, please. She's going through an awful lot. Pray for Sister. I have to get permission to mention her name, but right now I can't. So her first name starts with a V, and she lives up in Canada. I think I can get away with mentioning that. Pray, please pray for them. Pray for the people that come on the program, all of us. And please, if you would, remember me, because folks, I'm telling you, I got a target the size of Texas on my back. You can believe that. It is a miracle that I am still doing this. Absolute, bar none, total miracle. If somebody had like a Beetlejuice movie head, shrunken head, and someone said, in the name of Jesus, I command that your head to be restored, that's how big it's a miracle that I'm still doing this show. So God bless you all. Thank you for joining us tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name that you are blessed tenfold for remembering me and lifting me up in prayer, and everybody else that's trying to keep this thing going. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you Friday night, 7 p.m. for the Friday night prayer vigil, Lord willing. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have this program thus far. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for being our first love. Ani lododi vododi li. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul. Remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on the living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride. Set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.